Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name to worship you with all of our heart and all of our soul and with all of our mind. We thank you that you are always with us, that you never leave us nor forsake us. And we pray in Jesus' name that as we are guided through your word today, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to the hope to which you have called us, to the immeasurable greatness of your power and the riches of the glorious inheritance that we have in the saints. And as we study this morning, God, as we look to what it means to be strong and courageous in you, and what that looks like in relationship to your promises, we pray, Father, that you would guide and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good morning, family. If you haven't already and you are comfortable doing so, you can take your mask off. If you would like to leave your mask on, you're welcome to do that as well. So we're continuing our series this morning, Everyday Leaders. And if you look at your everyday life, I want you to think about the people in your life that you interact with on a regular basis, the people that are closest to you. Maybe even write their name down on the papers that you have in front of you, or if you have your phone, you can put their names in your notes app on your phone. People that you are with on a regular basis. Last week, we talked about those relationships and that we have a platform to create boldness when God gives us a burden. We learned that from Nehemiah last week. But those relationships need to be a two-way street. We can't just build relationships in order to gain what we want. You know, relationship building, I've talked about this in marriage, and I've also talked about this and extended it into all of our relationships on a regular basis, is that our relationships are never 50-50. They are always 100-100. You're giving the very best of who you are, and the other person giving the very best of who they are. So truly, relationships, when they're done well, they're a two-way street. And so we can't just build relationships in order to gain what we want. We also need to seek opportunities to impact people's lives, to bless them. And each one of us has the power to do that, to help people chart a course that God wants for them. And the key word in that is the word influence. Now, influence is a popular word today, and it's popular in social media circles because everybody on social media wants to be an influencer. We're talking about Instagrammers, and Instagrammers are influencers. Lord help us if they're your influencers. But people want to be influenced, and you are, and we are, as people, always influenced by something. There's something that is guiding your life. There's something that is a guiding principle for you, and many of the things that we see from our normal influencers are not good. Social media is not the best influencer on your life. But let me tell you another thing. COVID-19 is not the best influencer on your life. Your political position is not the best influencer on your life. Could I commend to you that Jesus is the primary influencer in your life? And if he is not, then we have created an idol for ourselves. So we need to look at what exactly influences us. And by the way, you know it influences you if your actions are directed by that particular thing. If COVID-19 is directing your way of life over and above God, then you have an idol and you need to destroy it. If your politics is creating a narrative in your life that is over and above God, that is influencing your life, you have an idol and you need to destroy it. And anything else in your life, no matter what it is, you need to have the right influence. Today we're going to be looking at another everyday leader from Scripture who exemplifies having God as their influencer and therefore being a person of influential leadership. Today we're going to be looking at the influential leadership of Joshua. Open your Bibles with me this morning to Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 10. Joshua was the understudy, if you will, of Moses. He was his assistant. And he, for about 40 years, Joshua had a front row seat to Moses' ministry and his service to God. He saw firsthand the power of God at work in the leadership of Moses. Joshua was a great leader because he had Moses as an example. Because Moses was an influencer with the nation of Israel. Joshua had been fearless in the wilderness period in this particular passage. He fought alongside the Israelite armies and was victorious during their wilderness season. He had in fact seen the promised land for himself, but he was one of the 12 spies who went to go survey the land and to see its resources and see his enemies. And he was one of only two who said, as an influencer, we can do this. Unfortunately, for a generation of Israelites, there were 10 influencers who said, no, we can't. And in this text that we will study this morning, Joshua is now tasked with completing the work originally ascribed to Moses, his mentor. This is the backdrop for our introduction to Joshua, the son of Nun, a man who had powerful influencers around him and who helped prepare him to be a great influencer. Joshua lives out the fundamental leadership principle that we can learn, that we can replicate, that great leaders guide the way to great things. Our reading this morning is from Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. If you would, please, and if you are able, please stand with me out of reverence for God and His Word as we study together. Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 10. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandments and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning as we study it together. Now, as you read this section of Joshua and his first encounter with God's people that we have recorded without Moses, think for a moment about who he's talking to. A generation who has this as their narrative for their lives: slavery, homelessness, and their parents dying in the wilderness because of disobedience. Think about growing up with that as your narrative. And how you are on the edge of the land that God has promised your people. You've been told by Moses, but because of Moses' disobedience, he is not there to take you into this land. You know your history. You know this is why God called your people out of slavery in Egypt in the first place. But you've been wandering in the wilderness, and the one that was going to bring you into this promised land is gone. And the generation before you, on whom the promise was first given, that generation is now gone. And you sit at the banks of the Jordan with this as your backstory, wondering if you're actually going to make it. Think about the doubts you would have, the fears that you would have, but the deep desire to believe in God, to hope in God and his promises. Have you ever found yourself in that place? Waiting to believe and hope in what God wants for you, but you are so afraid that he won't fulfill it. What you need and what Israel needed more than anything else was someone to lead them and who was committed to them that would not let them fail. That's what they needed in Joshua. That is what Israel needed, and that is what they received in Joshua. And that's what we need. We need leaders who understand our need for strength and for courage. At the end of this passage, we see a group of people who are ready to follow Joshua. They are ready to obey him, follow him, and in fact, they are willing, according to the text, to destroy anybody who is going to derail Joshua's leadership. All they want is one thing. They just want one thing from him. You see at the very end of the passage, they only make one request of him. They make one request of him and one request of God. And the request that they make of him is to be strong and courageous. That's what they wanted from Joshua. Be strong and courageous. That's all they wanted. They didn't say they wanted someone with an outstanding family pedigree. They didn't want someone who had gone through the Israelite management program. They didn't want somebody who was the most educated or the most decorated individual. No, they wanted somebody who could be strong and courageous for them. That was the influence that they needed from Joshua. And that phrase, strong and courageous, is very important because it's a phrase that they were familiar with because it's exactly what God had called them to be. In Deuteronomy 31, Moses is giving his farewell address to the people, and he says, as he's preparing them for this moment, as they're going to be pushing into the banks of the Jordan River, he is telling them that he is not going to be crossing with them. But he tells them what they will in fact need to do. He prepares them for this moment. And as he does, here's what he tells them as a people. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, referring to those who occupy the land that they're in at that particular time, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. He tells them to be strong and courageous. So it makes sense that they tell Joshua what they need. As you put the puzzle pieces together of Scripture, something that should shout to you from the words of the text is that they have been told to be strong and courageous, and what they need is a leader who is also going to be strong and courageous. Or to say it another way, they can only be strong and courageous insofar as they have a leader who is also strong and courageous. And friends, that's how you, as a Christ follower, can influence the people in your life. Last week we talked about being bold with them when God gives you a burden, but also they need you to impart something to them. They need you to impart your influence, and the biggest influence that can have on any person's life is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you have it. Only be strong and courageous. Meanwhile, Joshua had been called to the exact same thing by Moses. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 7 and 8, Moses, after telling the Israelites to be strong and courageous, he tells Joshua to do the very same thing. Lead these people into the land, take them where they need to go, take them to the place where they have been prepared for. They're going to need a lot of things. They're going to need provisions. They're going to need to be battle ready. They're going to need a variety of things, but the thing that they need more than anything else is to be strong and courageous, and you can help them with that. They need you to guide them, Joshua. They need you to lead them, to influence them to the very thing that they will not be prone to do on their own. That's what they need. They need you to be strong and courageous. And friends, in your relationships, there are people who are waiting for you to be strong and courageous. But in order for them to be able to be strong and courageous and take that step of faith, whether it's the person sitting next to you or the person in your life that you wrote down on that paper that I told you to write down earlier, they need you to be strong and courageous. Joshua knew this. That this is what the Israelites needed more than anything else because Moses prepared him for this. And because God spoke directly to him. In fact, if we were to read the first 9 verses of Joshua, God says directly to Joshua 3 different times, be strong and courageous. But there is also another reason, according to this passage, that the Israelites are willing to follow Joshua. It's not only the call to be strong and courageous again. That's what they asked of him. That was the request of him. But they also made a request of God in this passage. In verse 17, it was based on his alignment with Moses. It says this, just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. You see, there they're making a request of God. They're asking God to be with Joshua just as God was with Moses. What a qualifying statement. And what a testimony to the leadership of Moses. Moses was a leader of such strength and courage that simply based on Joshua's alignment with him, they were willing to obey him even in the uncertainty. They're very clear with Joshua that there is, in fact, uncertainty. Otherwise, they would not have asked God to say, hey, only be with him, please, the way that you were with Moses. They say, hey, we're willing to obey you. We're willing to follow you. We're willing to give you our allegiance, the same type of allegiance that we gave to Moses. But man, we are sure praying that the Lord is with you as he was with Moses. They had a high level of risk in trusting Joshua. But they were able to trust Joshua because he was strong and courageous. Because they were able to trust Moses, they had seen Moses be strong and courageous, and so they could trust Joshua to be the very same thing. Friends, the needs of God's people haven't changed. Everybody in this room and everybody watching on our live stream at home has a need that God is calling you to be strong and courageous in. And we need people around us who are going to be strong and courageous. The kind of influential leadership that we can replicate. Can I commend to you that the people we surround ourselves with they're either going to elevate our ability to be strong and courageous, or they're going to inhibit our ability to be strong and courageous. I have an old line that I've shared with students over the years, and it's applicable to adults. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. If you surround yourself with people who are not going to foster an ethos of strength and courage in your life, you will not be strong and courageous in your future. If you surround yourself with people who will foster that in you, you will be strong and courageous. Because you're surrounding yourself with the right people to put you in the place where God wants you to be. Good leadership and being an influencer is all about replicating ourselves. Moses did it with Joshua, and now Joshua is doing it with the Israelites. The Israelites could be strong and courageous because Joshua was strong and courageous, because Moses was strong and courageous, and because he found his strength and courage in God. And it is that strength and that courage that we can influence people into God's greatest good. There are two things we see here that Joshua uses his influence for. The very first is that he focuses on the promises of God. If we were to go back and consider the conversation that Joshua had with God preceding this passage, wouldn't it have been easy for Joshua to lead with this? So, hey guys, just so you know, I've had a talk with God. And he's chosen me to lead you. Hold your applause. But he's chosen me to lead you. And here's what I can guarantee you. Because God has called me, and he's told me to be strong and courageous, here's what I'm going to do. Here's my 12-point plan for leading the Israelites over the Jordan River. And you can bank on that because John Maxwell gave it to me, and it's going to be fantastic. No, he doesn't lead with any of that. He doesn't lead with a great-sounding speech. That's not what the Israelites needed to hear. They didn't need to hear about Joshua's strength and courage. They just needed to see Joshua being strong and courageous. They didn't need to hear how great a leader he was. They didn't need to hear anything other than that he was going to lead them into exactly what God wanted for them. And Joshua does that. He focuses right from the start in verse 10 of this passage. What he leads in with is not his ability to lead. What he leads in with is the promises of God. Look again at verse 11. The very first thing that he does is he commands the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. They didn't need to hear anything about Joshua. They needed to hear everything about the promises of God. And as Joshua is strong and courageous, the thing that he knows is that his ability to lead them is not the headline news. His ability to be an influencer for them is not the headline news. What they needed is to be reminded of the promises of God and that they had somebody who was going to be strong and courageous to guide them into those promises. There was no time for a speech, no need for a speech, no need to focus on anything Joshua was capable of, because Joshua wasn't the important thing, and Joshua knew that. The most important thing was the promise that God had made to get them across to the west side of the Jordan, where he had promised them a home. There wasn't any way Joshua could improve on the promises of God, and they didn't need him for that. In fact, I would go so far as to say that Joshua displayed great strength and great courage in not trying to add to or to shift the focus from the promises of God onto himself. Joshua knew that the promises of God was what the Israelites needed most, and so he could influence them into that, and that was going to take great strength and great courage to do that. But Joshua also knew that the promises of God, what they needed, he knew that that's what they needed most, but there was something that he didn't know. There was something that I think that Joshua didn't realize. It's the second thing that he does. What he didn't realize was that others were waiting for the promises of God. You had the Israelites who had the promises of God, but what he didn't know is that there were others who were waiting for the promises of God. Upon entering the promised land, there are people that you still have to deal with. There's people who are enemies of God. There are people on the other side of the Jordan that are going to die as a result of your conquest that God has called you to. And if you want to talk more about that, because that's an intriguing subject all in and of itself, I would be happy to have that conversation with you and how God works in that reality of his people coming into that land. But there's still those people to deal with. And the amazing thing is that some who are of those people that God has called the Israelites to conquer, there are people who have heard about the promises of God that want to be included in that promise. As spies enter the land one more time for a final recon mission, there happens to be this woman named Rahab who lives in the wall, and her family lives with her. And here's what we read in Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted. And there was no spirit left in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God of the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." Rahab had been longing for what the Israelites had, and God granted her request. If the entire nations of peoples on the other side of the Jordan had done the same thing, what I can guarantee you in the very character and nature of God is that if they all had the same positional heart and desire and longing for God and his promises, that every single one of them would be saved. But see, Rahab is an expression of what we see in the promises of God. Friends, you have the promises of God. This is a foreshadowing of the gospel and the good news going forth in the world. Is you have the promises of God. And there is an entire city, an entire county, an entire world of Rahabs who need to hear the promises of God. There are people who God is preparing to be strong and courageous, to say yes to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said yes to them on the cross. And now they're going to say yes to God's yes. He is preparing that. And what he is waiting for is somebody like you to be strong and courageous and influence them with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to share with them that the promises of God are for them as well. That is influence. That is what Joshua teaches us. And this is how great leaders can lead. This is how you can lead, because great leaders guide the way to great things. Friends, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you because you have the ability to do this. And insofar that I'm able as your pastor, I'm not going to let you fail. I need you to pray for me to be strong and courageous, and you should expect of me to be strong and courageous. But as a church, I'm going to call you to be strong and courageous too. And I want to surround myself with people who are strong and courageous. And as we close our time together,